Amen. We stand here, Abby. Father, we thank you for your word. Your word is life. If you don't speak to us, we remain dead. And you spoke to us yesterday, but we still need to hear your voice today because you are a quickening spirit, and we will ask for more life even today in the name of Jesus. And we thank you. It's been amazing. It's been amazing since we started, and time is becoming so inconsequential. And we know why that is. It's because of the glory. And the glory makes a mess of time. And we're so grateful for the glory because we can't manufacture it. It's your own. You have the monopoly of glory. And if you can just still have it, make it stay here, we will be glad. And let there be miracles. Amen. Miracles have to happen because that is the only proof that you are the one talking. Because when normal men talk, miracles don't happen. But when God talks, stuff happens. So you have to give us the signs that you came. And that will so much excite us. And we ask by faith. And we can have faith because we have a name. And that's Jesus. All right, Genesis. So I'll tell you a story, Genesis 38. I'll tell you the story, and I'll break the story into three headings. And that's how I'll teach. The title of today's message is that she's not a prostitute. And this is a story of Judah, basically, and Tamar. Amen. And you know that Judah is one of the sons of Jacob. Amen. And he's the starting point of the tribe of Judah. He's the patriarch of the tribe of Judah. Not just the tribe of Judah, also the kingdom called Judah. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Are we together here? And so this is the story. Judah has about, is it three sons now? Can we read it? And he's the name of his wife. When he married his wife, the wife gave him three sons. And at a point in his life, he went to pick a wife for his first son. Amen. And when he picked a wife for his first son, for some reason, the son was declared wicked in the eye of God. Just be putting the scriptures as I'm seeing it because I want to maximize time. Amen. The son was termed wicked. And according to the culture of Israel, the culture of the day, they handed over. Then Judah took a wife for, all right, let me read that, verse 6. Verse 6. Judah took a wife for his firstborn. And her name was what? Tamar. But Judah's firstborn was wicked in the sight of the Lord. And the Lord killed him. Some people go crazy when they read this kind of scriptures, you know. They say, you know, that God is not the real God. God is really revealed in Christ. You know, those grammar. They just behave as if they are better than God. You know, that how can God kill somebody, you know. Well, the Lord killed him. And Judah said to Onan, go into your brother's wife and marry her and raise up an heir to your brother. You remember that story when Jesus was alive and about a particular story where they asked him a parable. They just wanted to catch him and said, in the afterlife, a woman, you know, married a husband, the husband died, and then she married all the brothers. I think they didn't have kids. And then in the afterlife, who will be the husband? We always keep making this same fundamental mistake. We are so earthly that we have an assumption that Jesus is also earthly. We always make that mistake. We just feel that marriage, this marriage is a big deal. And so they thought it was a deep question because they are earthly. And Jesus Christ said, the question does not exist. Not that the question doesn't have an answer. It doesn't even exist because in the world to come, there is no what? There's no, are they distracting me? There's no husband, there's no wife. They don't give to marriage, right? We were like angels in the world to come. But guess what? When he died and resurrected, that reality is compressed even in our naturality. Right now, we are like angels already. Amen. Are we together here? And at the same time, we are humans. But Onan knew that the air would not be his. That's the culture. He was to just get a child for his brother. And it came to pass when he went into his brother's wife that he emitted on the ground, lest he should give an heir to his brother. And the thing did not displease the Lord. Therefore, he killed him also. Then Judah said to Tamar, his daughter-in-law, remain a widow in your father's house till my son Shelah is grown. For he said, lest he also die like his brothers. So the issue was not just that Shelah, that he said is a thought. It's not like he said out. In his mind, when he checked the generational curse on that lady, and according to God's perspective, those guys were dying because of their wickedness. It was not her fault. We're going somewhere. But, relax yourself, please. For he said, lest he also die like his brothers. And Tamar went and dwelt in her father's house. Now, in the process of time, the daughter of Shua, Judah's wife, died. Judah was comforted and went up to his sheep shearers at Timnah. He and his friend Hira, the Adullamite. Because sometimes when you're going through crisis, you want to relax. Crisis is a period where you can be very vulnerable. You want to relax and just calm down and just, you know. And he was told, saying, look, your father-in-law is going up to Timnah to shear his sheep. So she took off her widow's garment, covered herself with a veil, wrapped herself and sat in an open place which was on the way to Timnah. For she saw that Shelah was grown and she was not giving to him. And she was not giving to him as a wife. Now, this covered herself with a veil is actually the dressing of a harlot. Do you understand that? The next verse. Then Judah saw her, he thought she was a harlot. It was because of that dress. Culturally, that's how the harlots dress. Why did he think she was a harlot? You see that the word has changed. So it was through her dressing that he knew that. Praise God. Then he turned to her by the way and said, please, let me come in to you. Now let's start. I'm going to bring out some things. Let's go to verse 14. I'm going to prove to you that she's not a harlot. And I'm going to explain how that relates to you. The Bible says she took off her widow's garment, covered herself with a veil, and wrapped herself. Those like two strange events happening at the same time. That was a change of garment. She had the widow's garment. She took that off. And then she took which garment? the harlot's garment. Now, why did she take the harlot's garment? She took the harlot's garment because she had always wanted to continue her life by being married to who? To Sheila. Because that's her right according to custom. She deserved Sheila. Do you understand that? Customarily, Sheila was actually her husband. And Judah was playing a fast one on her. Praise God. So this is a woman knowing that she has a husband, but not able to be married. She couldn't be a wife to her husband. Now don't think like a 21st century person. Think that culture. And this guy withdrew her husband from her. And so even though she was declared a widow, it's an illegal declaration. Because she isn't a widow, she's married. She's meant to be married. Her husband is alive. And his name is Sheila. Praise God. And so she found herself in a circumstance that was not her fault. She found herself in a circumstance, and it was the wickedness of men. The wickedness of her first husband, who the Bible said was wicked in the sight of God, and God took him. The second wickedness was the wickedness of Onan, who was emitting on the floor and couldn't give her a child, right? And the third wickedness is the wickedness of Judah, who withheld her husband from her. And now this woman is a widow, but she isn't meant to be a widow. Now it was the wickedness of men that put her in the condition that she's in. And all she wanted was to be with her husband, which is a genuine desire. Praise God. That was her desire. Because right now, she's declared a widow, but she's not a widow. And the truth is, for many of us, when we look at our lives, we are in conditions and situations. We're brought and put in places and put in scenarios. And we have tags that we bear. And all of these tags had nothing to do with our own faults. The wickedness of man has brought us to where we are. Are we together here? Yes, sir. For some children, it's the abuse that they went through before they could even fight for themselves. And the young girl is called crazy. But now she's crazy, not because she wanted to be crazy, but she was made crazy by some crazy person. Have you met people who are angry? Very angry. For no reason. You think for no reason. But sometimes if you investigate, a wickedness happened that gave them the garment of anger. And now they wear a garment called angry. Are we together? For some, it's the wickedness of lack of love. I've never been loved. Amen. And now they say, I'm a blunt person. The guy is disrespectful and rude, but he says he's blunt. He's not blunt. He's never been loved. That sometimes we find ourselves in situations and scenarios that has formed another image in us. Are you with me? And this image that we now carry is not who we really or truly are or is. I don't know. But somebody's wickedness gave you that garment. Praise God. But deep within, there is a desire and a longing. Deep within. Tamar had a desire and a longing. Deep within, crazy. There was this desire and longing in her heart that when she thought she had an opportunity to even get it, she went from the garment of widow and entered a lot again, from fry pan to fire. Because sometimes we act in a way, and people think we're acting mad and unreasonable. It's just because we think that we can, through that, get what we truly desire or deserve. Are you with me?
Yes.
And there's a young girl. who's not even married. But she has a fear, someone she wants to marry. And the guy says, can I get like 20,000 from you? And she has 100,000. But maybe the guy asks her, she's very angry. Amen.
Amen.
Or she wants to do something and her fiance says, please, I don't think you should do that. And then she busts out and says, why do you like controlling me? But I'm not controlling me. And then you think she's fighting you. She's not fighting you. She's not fighting you. She's not fighting you. She saw something at home. She saw what her dad did to her mom. And now she's angry. And you see many movements and of both male and female movements that are very crazy. Somebody's hurt. And somebody's trying to look for how to get what they think they deserve. But instead of going from evil to Christ, they go from evil to evil. How do you take off a widow's garment? And the next garment you take on is a harlot's garment. Because all she wanted was a man. And she truly deserved a man. But Christ is the way. So, a lot of us try to look for another way to solve our problems. And then we create another beast. From one beast to another beast. From widow to harlot. How do you go from widow to harlot? And then many times we need to do a deep search in our spirit and our souls and find out that why am I acting this way? Why do you want position this bad? And why do you scheme? Is it because there is a seed in your soul? Were you bullied all your life and now you think this is the only shot you have to be respected? Yeah. And anywhere you are, you lobby to be something. It's from widow to harlot. Because you've never had position all your life. You were told you were too short to be the head. And now you've noticed you started speaking in tongues somehow. And they like speaking in tongues in the new church you are in. And then you want to be head of unit. Because you've never been class captain all your life. And you think this is your only time to lead. And then you drop the garment of the bully you went through. And now you picked up the garment of schism. And now you scheme for what you think you've never had in your life and you think this is your only opportunity. A harlot, being a harlot doesn't mean you are married. It's from fry pan to fire. We need to do some search, right?
Yes, sir.
Because experience puts a garment on us. Experience. Some of you are not greedy. What is happening is that you are responding to poverty. You have seen poverty all your life. And so right now, one penny must not go. You have embraced greed because you want to take off the garment of poverty. So we take off the garment of our experience. But instead of wearing Christ, we wear the garment of desperation. But today healing is coming.
Amen.
The healing that only God can do. Because it's the wickedness of men that did this. But Jesus was made to destroy all the works of Satan. You will never remain the same after today's service.
Yes.
And you won't disguise anymore. No more disguise. Are you with me, friends? No more. No more disguise. He says that we should come to him boldly to the throne of grace. We'll obtain mercy and find grace. He says, when we turn to him, the veil is taken. I said, the veil is taken. Today, the veil is taken. You won't come from evil experience to evil desperation. You are coming from evil to Christ. Some kids were never allowed to have an opinion. Never in their life while growing up. And now they are in a marriage situation right now. And any time they just want to now have an opinion. Because they are fighting a battle. They are engaging desperation as a tool to avoid the repetition of the evil that happened. But evil cannot save evil. Evil cannot save evil. Darkness cannot wipe away darkness. But when the light comes, the darkness cannot comprehend it. And so this morning, a great light shall shine in your heart. And you will be free from every negative experience of your past. You will not be a shadow of your past. Not you. Not you. Not under this cloud. Not you. I promise you, I tell you the truth. Not under this cloud. Not under this anointing. Not under this glory. I tell you the truth and I lie not. Every evil experience that you have gone through that has given you a wrong identity and a wrong garment, you are dropping it off. And you are not wearing another evil garment. You are not putting on Christ. Even in the very recess of your soul. If you went through poverty, you are not going to come into greed. It's from poverty to generosity. I said it's from poverty to generosity. I said it's from poverty to generosity. If you were bullied, you are not turning out now to now be a schemer, to be one who wants position. Are you with me? It's from being bullied to being kind. Haha. The Bible says she took off the garment of a widow and then she wore the garment of a harlot. What has changed? The garment of a widow and the garment of a harlot, what has changed? But this very moment, you are putting on Christ. Amen. The glory, hear me, I speak the truth accurately that today the glory will visit your heart. Amen. And do a mighty operation in your soul. And you will no longer remain the same. Amen. Your true identity is being conferred on you. Amen. Because sometimes we become shy or afraid to ask or go for what we want. Then we pick up a disguise, a kind of veil. You want something, but you can't ask for it because you think you don't deserve it. But you were made for it. You want it. And so we get a veil. I burn the veils. Amen. Guys, she's not a prostitute. She's legally married. But the wickedness of man made her a widow. And then for her love, for her need of a man, she turned to a harlot. But tonight her story changes. Amen. Rather this morning, story changes. So we wear these evil traits to hide our real desires. Are you with me? In verse 15, the Bible said, are we together here?
Yes.
Do you know the glory of God is in this house? There is a mighty operation of the Spirit going on right now. And anything that you feel like doing, do. However the Spirit leads you, it can lead you to cry, cry. It can want you to fall on the floor, fall. But a surgery is going on by the glory of God. You're coming out brand new. You know, 15 said, and when he saw, when Judas saw her, he thought she was a harlot. And that's the mistake men who have it all, supposedly have it all, make. We're quick to judge. We see people and judge them. We are quick to be irritated. Don't be irritated. That person that you saw, that wore the cloth of an harlot, you don't judge that person. Don't be quick. Because she's not a harlot. And that greedy boy you're seeing, don't judge him too quickly. Don't say, I'll never be his friend. Because perhaps he's fighting a battle stronger than greed. And greed is the decoy. Greed is the veil. Wickedness has happened in the past. And now he's trying to get what he thinks he'll never get. Calm down on your irritation. Calm down on your judgment. Judas saw and he was sure that this is a harlot. But the girl not a harlot. Take time. Give people many, many chances. Hear their stories. Create an avenue for them to even be willing to share their story, because those stories are not easy to be shared. Because even those stories, you have even lied to yourself, they don't exist anymore. You don't even tell yourself the stories again, because the stories has formed an identity. You say it is past, but it has born another you. Don't be quick. Don't be quick to condemn anyone. And he just saw her and said, she's a harlot. But she's no harlot. Everybody is in some form of disguise. Because we're afraid. It is only when we turn to Jesus that the veil is taken. Everybody. So what you call a stupid boy, a selfish boy, or a wayward girl, or a girl who loves money is more than that. Yes, it's deeper. What you call a stubborn girl, a wife that is not submissive, a husband that is a bully, that is a freak, you know, a bully, that wants to just bully. All those things are deeper than what appears. And sometimes you just have to take some time and don't judge people by the first thing they did to you. Give them more time. Find out who they really are. And perhaps God can use you to bring salvation to them. Because see, all these guys that you're seeing, both in this church and those outside, I tell you the truth, all of them, everybody, was made in the image and the likeness of God. It was the enemy that did this. Yes. And you have to see everybody that way. Yes. Don't disqualify anyone. Yes. Let nobody be disqualified in your eyes, please, friends. For that person was made in the image and in the likeness of God. And if it's not you that will change and bring healing to the person, don't add more to it. Yes, so be careful to call people what you obviously see. Be careful. Don't repeat what you obviously see. Because what you obviously see is not who they are. Be careful. Don't say, I know him. He's just a crazy guy. He's not a crazy guy. Don't say that person is a bad person. Don't be quick. Don't. For no we know man after the flesh anymore. And anybody can be changed, refined. Relax, that's not who they are. It was the wickedness of Ur, the wickedness of Onan, and the wickedness of Judah. This girl is just trying to get a husband. And the best way she can do it is from widow to harlot. Not everybody knows how to turn to Christ. It's not very easy. It's not very easy to turn. It was the enemy that did it. That guy was blind. And the disciples asked Jesus, what did he do? We just always like to confer evil on people. We are used to it. What did he do? It must be a punishment for his sin. And Jesus said, the guy did not do anything. You guys said that he was born blind. You still couldn't give him a chance. What did he do? Did he eat his mother's intestine? The guy was born blind. Was he the one that ate his mother's liver? What could he have done? He was born blind. He didn't even have a chance to see from day one. It was the enemy that did it. And Jesus said, but the glory of God is going to be revealed today. You are for glory, not for condemnation. Yes. You have to be careful. Make sure that your environment doesn't only accommodate those you perceive perfect. What kind of heaven is your own heaven? And Judah saw her. She's a prostitute. If you saw me when I was younger, you wouldn't have called me a preacher. But look at me, I'm one of the finest preachers in my generation. Yes. That was not who I was in primary school. In primary school, they called me from primary 3 to come and fight the strongest guy in primary 5. He's like a giant. Because the guy bullied them and they paid me for it. And they gave me money and created a room, an empty class. And they knew I'll beat him, and I beat the guy. They paid me, I collected money for it. I was in primary 3, they paid me to come and beat their bully in primary 5. And I was very short. Because I know what it means for things to be hard. I was trained to do difficult things and impossible things. Because it's always difficult at home. And so I feel, whenever it's difficult, I feel it's a calling. See, today is still one of my weaknesses. I always side the person that is weaker or lesser because I just feel you can do the impossible. That's how I fought. You won't call me a preacher. You won't call me a preacher. You wouldn't. Because I walk the streets of Amoli Estate looking for whose door is opened. In the car door. Is opened, me and my friend. Because if your car door is opened, we steal everything inside. We waited till the midnight to check for all those trucks that brought load. We passed from underneath and find out which truck we can go and steal stuff from. One day we entered one truck, all we saw was engines. So how will we carry this one? The only reason I go out to buy anything is because I want to steal. We call it bug off. It was a promo MTN was doing those days, bug off, buy one, get one free. That's what we call it. And so when I go and pay for something, I steal what I buy. So it's difficult to catch me because I'm going to pay. So if I want to buy bread, for example, I pick the bread and pay for it. But the first one I picked has gone somewhere else. My friend has taken it, then I pick another one and I'm paying for it. So how do you know I stole? I go to the internet cyber cafe. When I buy minutes, I buy 1 hour. I will first read the first four password. My friend will read the last one. And I'll say, well, I'll not buy it again. We'll return it. And I'll quickly go back later, quickly type it. Or almost immediately, we'll type it and use it. And say, we're using a old password. So you wouldn't call me a preacher. When I come back from secondary school, I go and take banana leaves and smoke it. You wouldn't say I'm a preacher. My major error in those days was to go buy condoms as a small boy. You wouldn't call me a preacher. But I was wearing those garments. I was always leading. I was always making sure I'm a leader amongst my pack. And I knew what it meant to be a leader is to do more, go extra. So when everybody run back, I'm the one standing. My friends remember I was the one that stood yesterday. They make me their leader. I stand. When others say they cannot punch somebody, that they should first argue, I quickly punch. I quickly do what everybody cannot do. Because I just wanted to be a leader. And I was going about it the wrong way. If you saw me, you say, tout, cultist, Yahoo boy. But someone else saw me, and now I'm a preacher. I said, I'm a preacher. So you have a part to play. To remind people not their obvious experience. Remind them of their eternal destiny. That's your work. Don't call people what you see that is obvious. Don't call people by their obvious madness. Call them by the name that God calls them. Impart people with their identity that's in Christ Jesus. I told one of my daughters, I said, whenever I call you, I don't want to ever see you shaking. I told her, don't ever shake. I don't want to call you and you're shaking when I call you. I said, you have never done anything wrong. You will never do anything wrong. Don't shake. Because I don't know where it's coming from. I don't know where the garment of fear came from. And I don't want to continue that garment. That garment must be taken off. Because she's bold and she's righteous. The Bible says the righteous is as bold as a lion. And that's the identity I must confer. So you must be one that confers divine identity on people and not remind them of what is obvious. Friends, this is what spiritual men can do. It takes spirituality to do this. Please do it. She's not a prostitute, you know. I said, oh, you saviors, there is more than what appears. Do not condemn, do not stone their desires behind that veil. Are we together here? He says, when Judas saw her, he thought she was a harlot because she had a veil. She had covered her face. Give me 16. And he turned to her by the way and said, please let me come in to you. For he did not know that she was daughter-in-law. You don't understand. He saw a harlot, but actually she's family. The next harlot that comes your way was actually family. And if you... It's family. That terrible guy. That terrible girl. You had better open your eyes. That's your sister. Is he not family now?
Yes.
Is he not family now? We all know where we are coming from. Are we not family now?
Yes.
All of us did not get saved from our mother's stomach. Yes. We all looked like harlots.
Yeah.
And Jesus here has made us know we are now family, right?
Yes.
Guess what? There's more.
Yes.
We have more harlots out there.
Yes.
Who are not harlots but family.
Yes.
So the next time you go out there, next time you go to work, that thief is not a thief. That thief is brother.
Yeah.
That girl is family. He said he did not know that she is his daughter-in-law. His. Many of us have pushed away family and condemned family, insulted family. Because of the harlot garment that we saw. Praise God. So she said, listen, when he begged her to come to her, this family said, what will you give me that you may come into me? Let's read. Relax. Thank you for helping me. He said, I will send a young goat from the flock. So she said, will you give me a pledge till you send it? Then he said, what pledge shall I give you? She said, your signet and cord. Your staff. That's all she wanted. Identity.
Yes.
She wanted to be part of the family again. Give me family tokens.
Wow.
I'm part of Judah. The signet of Judah has the signature of Judah on it. That's how they inscribe identity in those days. Everybody, it's not just ring. It's particular to each family.
Yes.
When you write a letter, you put your signet on it. Everybody knows it's from Judah. And so this harlot don't want fun. You think she just wants to club. She doesn't want a club. You think he just wants to steal? He doesn't want to steal.
Yeah.
And when she was asked, she said, I want signet. Which harlot asks for signet? Which harlot asks for staff? Which harlot asks for cord, bracelet? Those three things meant identity, beauty and authority. And everybody that God creates is deserving of it. And you must make a vow that that is what you shall bring to people that come across your way. You don't have to be a harlot. You don't have to scheme around me to get it. Can I preach to you?
Yes, sir.
Don't create a system that is too difficult for people to go through before you give them identity. Don't make it too difficult to impart identity to people. Don't be difficult. It's a privilege. It's a privilege that God has placed you to be someone people think they can get identity from. Whenever you are honored, please give back honor. Please give it back. Immediately someone honors you, don't convert the person to a slave. Anytime anybody honors you and sees you up, give back the honor. Give back the respect. Always give it back. Mean your thank yous. Let them be very deep and strong. Mean your thank yous. Mean your God bless you. Say, I'm grateful to God that He brought you my way. Whereas the person sees you up there. Do you know what you have transferred to that person? Somebody who worships you, hears you say, I really want to thank you for adding value to my life. You are transferring authority, identity, and beauty back to the person. Isn't what Jesus does to us anytime we have our devotions? Have we left His presence and felt less before? Anytime we truly go into His presence, we feel like we can take the world. He's the master in planting identity in us. And that's a pattern for us. Don't be the only great person in your circle. She said, signet, cord, and staff. She wants identity. Prostitutes do not want all this, but she's not a prostitute. Sometimes if we ask patiently what people want, then they'll speak to us. Are you with me? Praise God.
Hallelujah.
Are you blessed by this?
Yes, sir.
Verse 20. And Judah sent the young goat by hand of his friend, the Adullamite, to receive his pledge from the woman's hand, but he did not find her. And he asked the men of that place, saying, where is the harlot? Who was openly by the roadside, and they said, there was no allot in this place. No allot. She has gotten what she wanted.
Yes.
It's not a permanent condition.
Yes.
Every crazy person you see out there is not always out there.
Yeah.
There are moments of reflection everybody has. You must remind them of those moments.
Yeah.
Every thief asks himself, every Ron's girl is wondering, is this how I will end my life?
Yes.
She won't do that in the practice. But you will not always find that practice in it. There are moments where they are alone.
Yes,
it is those moments that their identity tries to come back. When next they meet you, don't remind them of their practice. Remind them of their calling.
Yes.
Where is the allot? And they said, there is no allot in this place. So they turned to Judah and said, I cannot find her. Also the men of the place said, there was no allot in this place. Let's read. Are you following me, my friends?
Yes, sir.
Then Judah said, let her take them for herself, lest we be ashamed. For I sent this young goat and you have not found her. And it came to pass about 3 months after. That's the number of God. You understand?
Yes, sir.
That Judah was told, saying, Tamar, your daughter-in-law, has played the harlot. Furthermore, she is with child by her lottery. So Judah said, bring her out. Let her be born. Firstly, how do you even find out that somebody is pregnant 3 months? If not, that you're always looking for what is not lost. You must deliver yourself from being the carrier of rumors. Rumor must not easily always come your way. It means that you are attracting it. Every gossip must not find you as a bank. 3 months. It has not shown now. Your daughter-in-law has played the hello father much. She didn't even think twice. He didn't think twice. Judah said, bring her out. Let her be born. One, he did not give this girl her husband. He didn't even think that way. He just said, let her be born. The religious spirit always thinks death instead of restoration. The religious spirit thinks in death. How to end something, how to kill something. You remember the story I shared with you about Solomon and the women? One said, let's cut the baby into two. A religious spirit always think in death. They always think in condemnation. You had better trust God for healing today. You always think, you always think in death. You don't think in restoration and reconciliation. And you know why she does that? This is the guy that went into an aloto. And he has never thought of himself to be born. But it's the woman that is to be born. That's what the religious spirit does. The religious spirit is a spirit that is bankrupt of righteousness. She only ends righteousness by the condemnation of others. That's how she feels righteous. That's the spirit. That if I can make, I don't have to be great. I just need to make others lesser than me. That makes me feel righteous. If I can make people very terrible and condemn them completely, then I'll feel better. It's a religious spirit. Praise God. Hallelujah. You must be scared to condemn anyone. You must be scared to kill. You must be afraid. Praise God. Hallelujah. You must be afraid. Character assassination, you must be afraid of it. Because it's a proof of your own death that you are not aware of. Yeah. Bring out, let her be bond. You're bond. What kind of heart is that? Don't say this old covenant. This is not old covenant. This is a terrible heart. It's not about old covenant. Because we saw a case like this with Joseph. And the Bible recorded Joseph to be a righteous man. His own was even worse. Mary told him he's the Holy Ghost. And the Bible said he was seeking to put her away privately. He didn't want her to go through this dying, this death. Because of the righteousness of his heart. So righteous people bring covering. Yes. Do we understand this?
Yes.
Dead people need more people to die. So that they can feel better. It's I've explained it severally to you. It's what happens to when you check your result. When you see F, you are very sad. When you see a lot of F's, joy comes back. Well, that lecture and a useless man. Oh, the good and a useless man. You were sorrowful when you saw your result, but when you saw others, maybe you had maybe a D or a C, and you're feeling sad, and you ask your friend, he say E, he say D, I say this is well, Mona, no worry, Mona, no. I try. It's the carnality, it's flesh. We feel better when others are dead, because we just think I'm not as dead as this person. You are deader. You are deadest. Bring her out. Let her be born. Be careful. And why did he say, but they told him she has a child by harlotry. You see, what she wanted was not a child or harlotry, whatever. Harlotry was just a disguise, right? Harlotry is a lies. Identity has always been our need. Are we together here?
Yes, sir.
Praise God.
Hallelujah.
Are you blessed by this?
Yes, sir.
Can we move forward?
Yes, sir.
Give me 27. And by the grace of God, guess what? This babe later told them and said, it was this guy that gave me the child. Check. In fact, he just sent the thing to. Let's even read it. Let's go back to 24. We'll start from 25. Let's go back. And it came to pass about 3 months, and she sent to her father-in-law, saying, by the man to whom this belongs, I am with child. And she said, please determine whose these are, the signet and cord. Just let me find out whose owns it. Are you together with me? It's on you. 26. It's your turn. When you condemn people to death, it's your turn. That's the meaning of condemnation. In the realms of the spirit, anytime you condemn, the meaning is it's your turn. You just signed your own turn. You are going to experience your own death. Soonest. It's around the corner. So Judah acknowledged them and said, she has been more righteous than I. Because I did not give her to Shelah my son. And he never knew her again. Now it came to pass at the time of... He never knew her. Two things. That he never knew her, he didn't sleep with her. Not only that, he abandoned her completely. Amen. But it's okay. Anybody can go. Amen. Amen. This lady had what? Twins were in her womb. That's a prophetic sign of a season of double. Amen. Listen, you don't have to cry anymore. If you came to church today, you are going to experience double for all your troubles.
Amen.
I'm not speaking positive statement. If you are listening to what I'm preaching, I tell you the truth that your life, by double, it doesn't mean times two. By double, it's in scriptural language, double means you can't connect it to your past.
Yes.
More than enough. Your life is going to be more than enough.
Amen.
Can I preach here? Because I'm going to the last part.
Yes, sir.
Twins were in a womb. Twins were in a womb. Twins were in a womb. Twins. We're in a womb. Power is here now.
Yeah.
Let's read, my brother. And so it was when she was giving birth. Adaye kava parotes. When she was giving birth, that one put out his hand. And the midwife took a scarlet thread and bound it on his hand, saying, this one came out first. Then it happened. It happened. As he drew back his hand, that his brother came out unexpectedly. And she said, how did you break through? This breach be upon you. Therefore, his name was called Perez. Perez means breakthrough. Because sometimes the wickedness is so much that God has to release an anointing on you. That you are going to have an anointing of breakthrough in life. Listen, the more the trouble, the more the grace. Can I preach it to you right now? Those of you who have gone through crazy troubles, experience great grace. Your womb is birthing breakthrough. Listen, the word Perez, the same word in the book of Micah, when the Bible was talking about the breaker's anointing. It's the breaker's anointing. It means that the force of the Spirit comes upon your life. At this level, you don't have to change garment again. You don't need a garment of a widow to get a garment of a harlot. Now you have a new garment and it's called breakthrough. That's the garment you should wear. The garment that breaks the forces of hell that has been holding you down. Because right now, you are coming out of whatever has held you down and you are becoming a leader and a champion. Somebody shall
breakthrough.
It's an anointing. She gave birth to breakthrough. And the second child. What's the name of the second child? The second child was called Zerah. And Zerah means the rising of the sun. The rising of the sun. By the time the breaker's anointing come upon you, then you are going to rise and be bright like the sun. I am writing to you your prophetic destiny. I am telling you that the anointing of God is upon your life, and it is the breakthrough anointing upon your life, and your life will not be hid under the bushel. This you that I see, your life is going to be like the rising of the sun. When the sun rises, everybody knows. Everybody shall see your glory. It's the breaker's anointing. It's the breaker's anointing. Are you with me? It is a life of force and power. It is the real life that shines. Karodosh. Can I not mess you up completely? When you now find out the name of Tamar itself, the name of Tamar is erect. Standing erect like a palm tree. That's who she really is. She's not a widow. She's not a harlot. She's a palm tree. Are you together with me? No matter how hard the wind blow, she's not dying. Do you now understand that? No wonder you went all through that. It looked like you were going to die, but you didn't die. Because actually, you're not a widow, and you're not a harlot. You are a palm tree, and now you are breaking forth by the power of God, and you are rising like a light, like the sun. Do I have people that the glory and the power of God is upon them, who are functioning the breaker's anointing? Are they in the house?
Yes, sir.
Are they in the house?
Yes.
Give me Micah chapter 2:13. Let me prophesy. Oretepa safalotika. Something is coming upon you, a new identity. Ariakuve pesaya. The one who breaks open will come up before them. They will break out and pass through the gates and go by it. Their king will pass before them with the Lord at their head. That is your story. The breaker anointing goes before you. Every limitation you've ever experienced, the breaker anointing goes before you and brings it down. A little overseer. Breaker's anointing. You are free from the widow's garment. You are free from the harlot's garment. Can you begin to flow now in the spirit? Asaye! You are free from everything that has held you down. You are free. Now you flow in the breaker's anointing. You are free from the widow's garment. You are not a harlot. No more disguise. No more. You are no longer fighting battles in the flesh. You are no longer responding to your issues in the flesh. Not anymore. You are no longer responding to issues in the flesh. A dead Bosca. This one is not a prostitute. She carries Perez and carries Zara in her spirit. Be free from these guys. Be free. Be free from skin. You can be on your feet now, everyone. Now listen to me. We are releasing healing. I'm healing this woman. I'm healing this woman. Look at me, everyone. Look at me, everyone. We are doing generational healing. Because some of this crisis, some of this wickedness moves from one generation to another generation. That's how Satan handicaps and holds down with generation. But this morning, the balm of Gilead is in the house. There is a balm in Gilead. Let me show you. Ruth chapter 4, verse 12. Everybody on your feet. The same scripture, the same issue. Now, this is a very beautiful story, Crips D. This is a very beautiful story. I don't have time. I would have shown you before we got to Ruth chapter, before we got to this verse 12. This was them praying for Naomi. You don't understand. After Ruth got connected to Boaz, there was so much joy because Naomi had been through a lot. Naomi, the mother, the mother-in-law of Ruth. The people wanted to pray. They wanted to pray for Naomi. See prayer. And let the house be like the house of Phares. Phares had become a major... Do you understand that? The success and the greatness of Phares became a monument by which people prayed. Now, when you check the condition of Phares and his mom, where they are coming from, by the time God brought healing, by that anointing, Phares became a monument. Everybody, oh my God, I'm preaching. Listen to me, hear this, my friend. No matter what you are being through, you are going to be an icon that nations will use you as a prayer point. Do you hear me? Do you believe what I'm putting in your spirit? Do you believe what I'm putting in your spirit? I'm putting an ordinance in your spirit. Friends, can you hear what I'm saying to you? You are going to be an icon and a remembrance of the greatness of God. Satan is going to pay in a thousandfold. Paris became the point of prayers. This was one who came through the widow's garment, the harlot's garment. But when the Lord was done, it became a point of reference for generations after. Because I want to release two things. This is the first thing I'm releasing. I'm releasing the second one. The first thing I'm releasing is that, listen, I tell you the truth for everyone hearing me, connected to me, that has faith what I'm preaching. I say to you, regardless of the pain you have been through, regardless of the pain you have experienced in life, where the wickedness of men, events of life have placed you, I say to you that the breaker's anointing come upon you and you are going to be a reference point. Generations shall reference you. Generations shall reference you. Generations shall reference you. Because you are not a prostitute. You are not a harlot. Generations shall reference you. Generations shall reference you. You become an icon of the goodness of God. Crazy. Is it not making sense that Naomi's story is almost close to Tamar's story? And then God had found an icon to heal the, oh my God. Oh my God. That your story, the anointing is coming upon you so that through you, not shall only you be blessed, but your generation. Everyone who has been and has gone through what you went through, anytime you show, anytime you appear, the same oil on you will work on them. Do you understand what I'm preaching here? Thank you.
see the river, the healing river. I see healing river. It's coming into your soul, taking away every garment. It's happening to you right now. It's happening to you right now. A new identity is being given you. A new identity is being restored.
Do you understand this? Fares now became a house that people prayed. It became an icon in the realms of the spirit. Oh my God. Thank God you went through what you went through. Because now you are becoming that point of contact for generations. Fares is now being used as the template for change. As the template for restoration. Fares became the template for restoration. Let me show you the second thing. Whom Tamar bear unto Judah, of the seed which the Lord shall give thee. He said, let your seed be like Fares. Something about Fares. That's your new order. You get it? It's your new order. That's your new order. That's your new order. Eh? That's your order. That's the order of blessing upon your life. You become a point of reference. You shall be referenced. Give me verse 20. I've prayed the first one. See the second one. Ruth 4:20. The same story. Look at me, my friends. You can start from the previous verse. Go back a little. Quick now. Quick. Just go back. Go back again. Also, the neighbor women gave him a name, saying, there is a son born to Naomi. And called the name Obed. Is the father of Jesse, the father of David. Now, this is the genealogy of Perez. Crazy. Perez now became the new starting point. Baba, he started it again. This is the genealogy of Perez. With you, your family lineage starts again. The healing anointing of our Father comes into your lineage. I know what I'm saying. Listen. I speak as a prophet of God. I know what I'm saying. I heal the waters of your family. It's the counting starts again. This is now the genealogy of Perez. I said, this is the genealogy of Perez. It starts again. Perez beget Ezron. Ezron beget Ram. Ram beget Abinadab. Abinadab begat Nashon. Nashon begot Salmon. Listen, can I preach here? Crazy. God had used Tamar and Perez to heal this lineage. I will show you a mystery now. Do you know? Do you know that Salmon that begat Boaz that Ruth married, Salmon was the wife of Rahab. Rahab, Salmon, was the husband of Rahab. What was Rahab's story? Also is prostitute. But Tamar's life had healed that lineage. That thing now means that you can go through all of that and still be connected to the genealogy of Christ. It was alive that God used to heal that genealogy. And that was what made Rahab possible to still come in. Do you understand? So Tamar had done the work. Where Rahab was going, was being lost. It's not true. She's not lost. She still came back. Are you together with me? And then it was Rahab and Salmon that now gave birth to Boaz, who now married Ruth. And don't forget, the prayer of the people that were praying for Naomi was that, let her life be like that of who? Of Perez. Can you see the connection? That what is happening with you is a phenomenon. But listen, it will continue after you.
Amen.
You are bringing a there's a fresh healing that has come into your lineage.
Amen.
You have separated your family from the wickedness of the past.
Amen.
And now a new genealogy has started. Lift up your hands. Lift up your hands. Can you begin to speak these words into your life? Speak it. Begin to speak. A new generation has started with you. A new nation you have born. Your seed is healed. Your seed is healed. In the name of Jesus. Your seed is healed. Put your hands in your belly. Your seed is healed. Your seed is healed. Prosper. Bring forth. Multiply in this new order. For your seed is healed. Bring in the new order. In Jesus' name, I pray.
Amen.
Your seed is healed.
Amen.
You will be a reference.
Amen.
And it shall continue after you.
Amen.
The widow's garment is eternally taken off.
Amen.
The harlot's garment is eternally taken off.
Amen.
And now you have put in on Christ.
Amen.
No more these guys.
Amen.
You are without a veil. And now you are chained from glory to glory.
Amen.
From grace to grace.
Amen.
From victory to victory.
Amen.
And the new starts with you.
Amen.
The breaker's anointing goes before you.
Amen.
And you do what is impossible.
Amen.